Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB-TV brings you all seven South Dakota High School football state championship games. They begin tomorrow and conclude Saturday night. You can watch live on SDPB-TV1 and online at sdpb.org/football. Thursday's coverage includes the 3 9-man classes, with the Class 9B game opening play at 10:30 Central Time, 9:30 Mountain. Joining us now for a preview, SDPB's Steve Toom and KWSN Radio's Craig Maddock. Craig, welcome to the program.
Hey, Lord, good day to you guys. I can't believe we're already talking football again.
Right.
It seems like we were in Vermilion not too long ago.
Steve, welcome back, too.
Great to have you here.
All right, I've got a list up of what's going on. Craig, I'm going to start with you. Where should we begin talking about what's ahead this weekend for football fans?
Well, let's start with the 9-man, because they all three play tomorrow. And I know, Steve, you've done a lot more research on these teams, since I'll handle the 11-man, and you'll be on the sideline for that. But, you know, you look at the 9-mans, and Steve, you can clarify too. You got some big time offenses coming in. There could be some pretty big scores racked up tomorrow.
Yeah, if we have any defensive struggles tomorrow, I will be mightily surprised, because not only are you talking about the teams, but you're talking some individuals who are putting up all time career numbers for their respective schools. We'll talk about Andy McCants at Gregory a little bit later on, but we'll start off with 9B, and you got two unbeatens with Sully Buttes against a defending champion, although Coleman Egan moving down a class this year. And what people don't realize is that Sully Buttes, you know, people know them more for basketball than football, but they've had a lot of good football teams over the years, and they've generally gone deep into the playoffs, but they always seem to get tripped up on their way to the dome. This is a team that, even though they don't have a lot of dome experience, a lot of those players also play in basketball, so they've got that big-time atmosphere experience. And Coleman Egan, they know what it's like to be at the dome. I think this is going to be a really good one. And Sully Buttes got tested in that semifinal against Colombe, and Colombe, a team that won a championship last year, brought back a strong team this year. That was a game that was tied at the half of that semifinal, and then Sully Buttes outscored him, I think, 16-0 in the second half. So that was a big test for Sully Buttes, and they're going to have an even bigger test with Coleman Egan.
How about Gregory versus Irene Wakanda?
Well, we'll jump up to 9AA, I guess, first here. That'll be our second game tomorrow. And this is a team in Gregory that's got everything. I mean, you talk offense, defense, experience, that are defending champs, a lot of players back. And Andy McCants is their quarterback, and he has just put up fantastic numbers throughout the course of his career. I think he was the Joe Robbie MVP last year. And he is a dual-threat quarterback. He can run, he can pass, and they've got a solid offensive line in Gregory. And they've got some size up front, including, I think, their starting center is 305 pounds. How often do you see a 300-pounder? And the guys flanking him are no small fries at 230 and 225. And then they have a tight end at 185 pounds. So they've got some size. And they have just pretty much steamrolled through everybody this year. In fact, I think their closest game was Bonham during the regular season, a 10-point victory. They beat Wolsey Westington by 16 in the semifinals. But pretty much Gregory's, Craig, they've just pretty much annihilated everybody they faced this year.
Yeah, but they got to worry about Trey King from Irene Wakanda. He is just like Andy McCants. He can he can throw it. He can run it. It's gonna be that's gonna be a fun ball game tomorrow.
I think that one's gonna be a shootout. I got to see a bit of that semifinal game against Kimball White Lake. The big question for Irene Wakanda is one of their big players, playmakers, Tate Gale. He injured his shoulder in the first half of that game, and he is going to be a question mark. But I believe he's gonna. You know, he's a senior, I believe, and you got to figure, if he can play, he'll be out there. He is listed on the special teams unit. He is their kicker, and he's a very good kicker as well. He can really, hit it from distance. And I tell you what, in those 9-man games, if you got a kicker that can knock down like 35 and maybe 40-yard field goals, and he's got the leg to do it, that may be an X factor. But Irene Wakanda, they'll spread you out. They're going to roll out their quarterback, Trey King, and he'll roll outside, he'll take off and run. I got a feeling this could be a 50-40 ball game by the time all is said and done.
Well, let's march ahead to 9A, Steve.
9A, and you've got a interesting school here in Britton Hecla. They run about 95% of their plays are running plays. Their starting quarterback, Parker Morrow, has only attempted 34 passes all year. They're going to run the ball, And when they get tired, they're going to keep running the football. Yeah, they average over 300 yards a game on the ground, only 31 through the air. And they've got a couple of brothers, their half-brothers, that are their main weapons. That's Taeon Hawkins and Stanley Hawkins Jr. And they are just a fantastic combo. One's a senior, one's a sophomore. They had an interesting situation where their starting center got injured in the first play of the Canastota Freeman game, broke his leg. And so they've got a sophomore in at center. So that could be a little bit of a question mark, but Britton Hecla has been tested. Meanwhile, Corsica Stickney, this was a team that was in the semifinals last year, I believe in 9B, and they lost to Cologne by 1 point. This year they've run the table and have been very impressive. A little more balance in their offense. They're outscoring their opponents by an average of 40 points per game this year. They have just been a juggernaut. They average 47.5 points a game. They have limited their opponents to less than 7 points per game. So they're generally, they've really haven't been tested too often. Really, Howard was a good matchup for him. 36-22 in the semifinals. That's about as close as anybody's come to them all year, other than Cologne, who they beat 22-6.
All right, if you weren't already enthusiastic about this weekend's games, I'm sure you are now as we hear some of these exciting matchups. We're kind of walking right through the schedule. Let's move to Friday and talk about Class 11B. Who wants to tackle Bridgewater Emory, Ethan, and Sioux Falls Christian?
Well, Bridgewater Emory, Ethan, this is their first time in the Dome as an 11-man team. They've been playing 9-man football for several years. And they're in the Dome for the first time as an 11-man team, and they're taking on Sioux Falls Christian. They've only been playing football since 2009. This is their first trip ever to the Dome, so you're going to have some pretty excited fan bases there in Class 11B. It's one of those where Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan defeat the number one seed to get to the Dome for Class 11B.
And who
Class
was on the start? Yep, go ahead.
Sorry?
No, go ahead.
A couple of the stars for Sioux Falls Christian, Parker Nelson is a running back, and then you got Jamie Arend and Brady Hawkins for Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan.
Yeah, Sioux Valley was a common opponent, and actually it's kind of interesting that both Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan and Sioux Falls Christian lost to Sioux Valley during the regular year, but then a regular season, but then Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan went on the road and beat Sioux Valley pretty solidly, 35-7. Sioux Valley was unbeaten going into the playoffs. In fact, they were the only 11B school that was unbeaten going into the playoffs. And Sioux Falls Christian, I believe last year was in the Class 11A ranks, if memory serves correct. So, and yep. Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan, of course, they have been a dynasty in 9-man football. They gave winner last year their closest game in the semifinals. So they're a tested football team. And Coach Van Loor, you know, he's been there, done that.
Mm. Steve Toom, what's next? Where do you want to go?
We'll go, why don't we go to Class 11A? This is going to be a game that's going to be played on Saturday afternoon. An intriguing matchup, two unbeatens, Madison and Dakota Valley. Of course, Madison, the defending champs, they've been frequent visitors here at the Dome. And Dakota Valley, I think this is their first time there in, I think, 16 or 17 years. And these two teams are in the same conference, but they didn't play each other this year. So a battle of unbeatens. Madison is just loaded with offensive talent. They were in the basketball championship game last year, lost to T area. So, again, they know the big stage. They're very familiar with it. Dakota Valley hasn't been on that big stage, but they only have a hop, skip, and a jump to come over to the Vermilion and the Dakota Dome. So I got a feeling that's going to be a very, very full and loud crowd on Saturday afternoon.
Craig Maddock, we're into AA, and we're heading toward Sioux Falls, Washington, Sioux Falls, Roosevelt, but let's stop with Harrisburg versus Pierre.
These two teams, this will be the third meeting between these two. Early in the season, they only got to halftime when they got lightninged out because of a storm, and then they played 2 weeks later to finish it, and now they'll meet again for a whole game at one time. Pierre and Harrisburg, Harrisburg won the last time they met, but this is going to be close. You got some kids who've had some injuries, like the quarterback of Pierre and the quarterback of Harrisburg. They are back. It's going to be a fun ball game with the Governors and Harrisburg. Harrisburg, their 11th appearance in the Dome Final over the years. They've been in Class 11B and 11A. Now they're in Class 11AA.
All right, so 11 appearances. What does that do for them, you know, as a program coming in?
Well, you know, for a lot of these kids, I mean, it's consistency. There are some programs that sometimes will get to the Dome maybe one or two times in their career. But for Harrisburg, you know, they were there last year. And before that, it was 4 years before they were there. But, you know, when you've been there before and you go back the next year, it helps a lot with the nerves. It really does for some of these kids. And then 11 AAA. This one here, Sioux Falls, Washington, undefeated. Sioux Falls, Roosevelt, one loss. That lone loss was to Washington early in the season. Both teams barely getting by in semifinal play last week. And this one will be a lot of weapons for Sioux Falls, Washington. Roosevelt needs to stop the run if they want to have any chance to win that game on Saturday.
Yeah, both of these teams got here with one-point victories. Washington 42-41 over O'Gorman, and then in double overtime, Roosevelt over Brandon Valley 41-40. Those two semifinals, Craig, may have been the best we've seen in a class in quite some time as both teams squeaked by. I mean, those were kind of, you know, you figured Washington was a favorite, but boy, O'Gorman just gave them everything they could ask for.
What happened? Looking at that tape too.
Right, I wasn't paying attention. What happened to Sioux Falls Lincoln? Because that's where I graduated from. Did they go back to the '80s?
And they'll be back. They'll be back.
Because they made a push there as I after I left that school, and you know, kind of like to see their name up there every once in a while.
Yeah, unfortunately, Lincoln did not qualify for the playoffs this year, but you got to figure that program is rebuilding under a new coach. And let's face it, 11 AAA, it has been Washington, O'Gorman, Roosevelt, and Brandon Valley. They've been ruling La Rousse there. I mean, that's pretty much been the semifinals the last several years. All strong programs. And as you can see by one-point victories, it could have been any one of those four teams in the Dakota Dome.
Who is Sioux Falls Washington putting on the field? Who are their stars this season?
Well, they have a quarterback, Jaden Johansson. He's thrown for over 2,000 yards. They have a running back, a career 3,000-yard rusher in Tupac Kapaya, and they've got some offensive weapons as well. They can throw to four or five different players, and defensively they're strong. Farniak is going to Nebraska. He's the center for the Warriors. A lot of weapons on that Warrior team.
You know, how many Farniaks have we seen come through Sioux Falls, Washington's program?
This will be four. Fourth in the last one. I feel bad for mom and dad at Thanksgiving trying to feed all those four boys. It's been a lot. They're big boys, all playing college football.
Yeah, I think when they go on to college there, you know, the family food budget actually goes down. It's like, well, it's the college's responsibility. They've got to feed them now.
Yeah, but they come home for Thanksgiving, I bet.
Yeah.
Enjoy a little football over that season. You know, Nate Weck and I were just talking about some of these, you know, families and the parents and just folks moving on. And let's talk a little bit about some of those folks like the Farniaks and other family teams or family players throughout the state that really have brought that legacy to South Dakota football.
Well, there are... When you look at families that have had multiple athletes move on, with college football, boy, the Farniaks have got to be there. Of course, Chad Greenway, that family, that has always been an athletic family. And there are more opportunities now for kids to play college football in college than ever before, whether it's NAIA level, Division III, II, or I. If you're a halfway decent football player, you can still play football by going to college.
Yeah, there are opportunities because we have so many schools. You mentioned the NAIA level, and that's you got the Great Plains Athletic Conference around here, very, very strong. I'd say it's the strongest NAIA conference in the country. The Northern Sun, strong football conference, and, of course, North Dakota State, South Dakota State. I mean, they are just juggernauts in football and they've got the tradition. And, yeah, there's tons of opportunities, not just to play, but to play locally.
Steve, about a minute left. Give me an idea of some of the coaches who are just bringing those programs again and again.
Well,
Coach
Van Lore, Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan, I believe he's the winningest nine-man football coach in state history, and now he's doing it at the 11-man level. We used to joke about him. It's like, hey, would you be fine if they put two extra guys on the field? And we used to kind of jokingly talk about that, but they have got such a strong program there. Those communities really, really back them. Of course, Chad Statham has won titles at other schools and now leading Sioux Falls, Washington. Again, you're going to see some great, great coaching matchups here. And we mentioned Chad Greenway, Corsica Stickney. Stickney was with Mount Vernon back with back in the 9AA when they opened up that class a number of years back. And this is the first time the Stickney community has been back, this time teamed up with Corsica.
All right, play begins tomorrow. It concludes Saturday night. You can watch live SDPB1 TV online, sdpb.org/football. Thursday's coverage includes the 3 9-man classes with the Class 9B game opening play at 10:30 a.m. Central, 9:30 Mountain. SDPB's Steve Toom, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Craig.
You too, Steve. Thanks, Laura. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Craig Maddock is with KWSN Radio, and thanks both of them. And tomorrow on In the Moment, Gary Ellenbolt will join us with some football by the numbers.